Good evening, brothers and sisters. The title of my devotion is Courage, Christian, Even in Failure. Failure is a word that we do not quite like. We get insulted when people call us failures. Originally, I wanted my devotion title to be called Courage, Christian, You Are a Failure. But I thought that would be a bit too controversial, a bit too arresting. But the truth is that here in our text today, we see the psalmist affirming two equally true realities. Two truths. One that confronts our human nature. The other one that gives strength to us. So listen to these two truths from Psalm 73 verse 26. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Let's look to God in prayer. Lord, we thank you for tonight. We thank you that we can come to you in prayer. And now we ask that you would give us faith through your word so that we might be able to say, whom have I in heaven but thee, and besides you, I desire nothing on earth. For we ask this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We see here that Asaph states plainly, my flesh and my heart faileth. Some translations actually render this, my flesh and my heart may fail. And of course, the italics that you see, for example, in the NASB and in the KJV also, tells us that the word may, the words in italics are not actually there in the original. Perhaps the translations are trying to capture something of the context that Asaph, the author of this psalm, his heart has been grieved. That's what he says in verse 26. In verse 1, he says, my feet had almost slipped. And so they think that verse 26 presents a possibility. My flesh and my heart may fail. But strictly speaking, the tense for the word faileth presents a reality, not a possibility. It's not just that our flesh and our hearts might perhaps one day in the future fail, and when that day comes, God will be our strength. That is true. But rather, this verse tells us something of that failure is a present reality. It's a present experience in our lives. It is a general truth in our life, that our flesh and our hearts do fail. Our flesh and our hearts have failed. Our flesh and our hearts are failing. Our flesh and our hearts will fail. I guess I really do not need to belabor this point, but here we go. The first point is that we fail every day and in many ways. Our bodies fail. We suffer from debilitating ailments. We suffer from stiff joints, irregular heartbeats, muscle aches. Even the youths shall faint and be weary. But not just our bodies that fail, our hearts fail too. We fail in our relationships. The girl that we like do not like us back. The boyfriend decides to look for a more Christian girl. We fail in our relationships, and that hurts. We fail in our parenting. The teenager decides not to speak to his mom anymore, not that his mom is no longer his best friend. A toddler just saying something simple like, I don't like daddy. We fail in our parenting as well. We fail in our marriages too. We forget an anniversary. We promise not to flare up like that anymore, and we fail to keep that promise. What more, we fail morally. We think of moral failure a lot of times as having an affair, which really is called committing adultery or maybe corruption scandals. But yes, those are reminders that the flesh fails, but our hearts fail too. The wandering eye, the bitter heart, the jealous thought. Even Asaph himself admits in this psalm that sometimes he has doubted that God has been good to him. And in that way, his hearts have failed. The reality is that our flesh and our hearts fail. But Asaph does not stop there. Take courage, Christian. even though you are a failure. You see, in the next line, Asaph states an equally true reality. Yes, it's equally true, but infinitely more glorious. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God. This is, if you will, the but God moment in the Old Testament. Yes, I am a failure. I fail daily. Yes, the outward man perishes. Our hearts have failed in so many ways. If you think about how our hearts can fail, they can be crushed, broken. Our hearts have melted, has been emptied. Some of us feel like there's a hole in our hearts. Some of us feel like our hearts have been pierced. Or our hearts have sunk. They've ached. They've withered. They've grown cold. But God. But God. God is the strength of my heart. The word strength is some sort of an abstract concept, if you will. But the Hebrew has something more vivid. It says, God is the rock of my heart. God is the rock. The imagery of God as the rock comes from the Exodus story where Moses smote the rock and water flowed out. And as Paul mentions, the Apostle Paul mentions, Christ is that rock that followed them throughout the wilderness journey, the rock who provided for them, sustained the Israelites, and revived their failing and fainting hearts. And so at the end of the Exodus journey in Deuteronomy 32, when Moses wrote a song, the first thing he says about God is that God is the rock. His work is perfect. This concept of the rock, this theme, becomes the theme of Moses' song. And King David too, in Psalm 18, sings that same song, that the Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. Moses sang this, David sang this, and now Asaph is applying this same truth into his personal life. Yes, like God's people in the wilderness, like David running away from Saul, I too am in my own wilderness, but God. God is the rock of my heart. God is the strength of my heart. He strengthens my heart. He puts a wall around it. He provides for my heart. He builds my heart and he builds your heart on a rock and not on sand. And the rain can descend, the floods come, the winds blow, and they can beat upon your heart. But your heart and my heart will not fall, for it is founded upon the rock. As the hymn goes, on Christ, the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Perhaps one reason why we do not like to admit that we are failures, one reason why we do not like to fail, is because it hits most directly at our identity. The Chinese has a phrase for this, which is that when we fail, it's shameful. We lose face. And it's interesting to think about it. The concept of losing face is as though our identity has disappeared. Our face has disappeared. But here scripture teaches us that we can face our failures. We can lose face because we do not need to lose heart. Our hearts are hidden in the cleft of the rock. Our hearts are rock solid and strong because God is the rock of your heart. And he is your portion forever. If we look at verse 26, we can see that if God is the rock of my heart directly address the issue of heart failure, then the next line addresses the issue of flesh failure. God is our portion forever. The word portion reminds me of a balanced diet. Like how we should have 5 portions of fruits and vegetables daily, 1 to 2 portions of meat, not too much rice. I learned this while preparing for this devotion, really. And the question is, why have a balanced diet? Why do we try to eat healthy? Perhaps one reason is that it's so that our flesh do not fail. And you see, now Asaph is saying, instead of 菜饭 being your regular go-to portion, or maybe some French fine dining being your portion that cannot fill your tummy. Here, he says, God is our portion. God is my portion forever. Imagine this. Imagine God as your portion. Would you ever run out of nutrition? Would you ever exhaust the deep wellsprings of the Lord? Here's a challenge for you. Attempt to use up all of God's resources for you. Put God to the test. Attempt to exhaust him. And you'll find him to be more than sufficient for every endeavor in your life. When we have exhausted our store of endurance, when our strength has failed, the day is half done. When we reach the end of our hoarded resources, our Father's full giving is only begun. But more than that, the word portion reminds us of the tribes of Israel. They were supposed to get portions in the land. The tribe of Reuben was supposed to get some land. The tribe of Gad was supposed to get some other land. But the tribe of Levi had no inheritance, no land to do their farming, no land like the Sultan of Johor to develop into a private estate. But why? Because Deuteronomy 10:9 says that the Lord is his inheritance. See, Asaph was, if we look at the context of this psalm again, Asaph was getting courage because he saw the successes of the proud and the wicked. He saw them prospering while he was failing. Do you feel this way? Maybe you don't compare yourself to the wicked. Perhaps you compare yourself to fellow Christians. And you think, why is life unfair for me? Why, God, you might say, does this Christian who do not seem any more godly than I am, or so I think, why does he do so well in life? Why does he get to drive a nice car while I drive my dad's car? Why are his children so well behaved while I struggle to even have a child? Why does he prosper while I keep failing? And if you think this way, then we realize that actually Asaph's words become applicable not just to his context, but to all of life. Asaph states a reality that undergirds all of our lives. That yes, our flesh and our hearts fail. It fails when in comparison to non-Christians. It might even seem like it fails when we compare ourselves to other Christians. But take courage. The Lord is your portion. He is your inheritance. Spend him. Use him. He is for you. God is yours forever. And so we see 2 points today. 2 points almost jarring when you place them side by side. First is that we are failures. The second point is that God is the rock of our hearts and our portion forever. Now, if you're an observant reader, you might point out that the word but in the King James is in italics, which means that it's actually not in the original as well. And yes, that's true. The word but is a connecting word that has been supplied by the translators so that this sentence, this truth flows better, which actually allows us to perhaps translate it slightly differently as perhaps my flesh and my heart faileth as a present reality, yet God, or still God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Which then begs the question of why. Why does God choose to identify with failures like us? Why does he choose to be the portion and the strength of failures? Why does he stay by Asaph's side, even though Asaph, in his own words, had been foolish, ignorant, behaving like a beast? As Christians, we know the answer. God remains faithful even when we are faithless because of who Christ is and because of what Christ has done. Christ, who knew no sin, who knew no failure, was made to be a failure in the eyes of the world. They describe him as someone who was born in a scandal. They rejected him. He hung on the cross. A deliverer who cannot save himself, they said. He's a failed deliverer. But God was the strength of his heart and his portion. Yes, his heart and his flesh failed, literally. It stopped but so that we in him might be strong, so that in him we might be blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Therefore, Christians, have courage. You know, there's this idea in entrepreneurship or in work to fail fast. If you want to be successful, you need to be willing to fail. They say, willing to take the risk. Fail quickly and always learn from your failures. The truth is that people who say this can say this because they can afford to fail. Perhaps they have a lot of money, or perhaps they have investors that are willing to back them up to allow them to keep failing. Speak to someone who needs his monthly paycheck to survive. He cannot afford to fail. We as Christians often live like the second person, where we cannot afford to fail. We think we have no safety net, no trampoline below us. But today's scripture passage reminds us that we have an inexhaustible inheritance. Our credit score is rock solid. God is the strength of our hearts. And so we can afford to fail. We can admit our failures. It's often said that the church is made up of people who recognize that they are sinners. And I think that's right. And furthermore, I think we can say the church is made up of people who recognize that they are failures. All of us fail daily. Yes, some feel more visible than others. Some feel more grievous than others. But this truth should humble us. And more so, we must remind one another that even though we are failures, still God delights to be our strength. He delights to be our portion forever. And then like Asaph in verse 28, let us draw near to God. Run quickly and frequently to him, not to our own resources, not to our own flesh, but to him, to God, and to put our trust in him, which is exactly what we'll do now. Let us pray. Lord, we confess that our hearts and our flesh have failed. It cannot take the pressures of this life, and you know that we have failed in so many ways. Even just today, forgive us for our sins. Lord, we do not deserve it, yet when we pause and we think about this truth, we realize that even though we are failures, you have loved us and you have saved us. And now you are the strength of our hearts. You provide for us and you are ours forever. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for securing salvation, redemption, and we praise you from whom all blessings flow. Amen.